Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andy Herman, unless you want to talk about some WWE, Andy, you're more than welcome to with us.
Yeah, is Goldberg at plus 180? Because that seems like a good bet.
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, the odds I saw this week, he was the favorite. So we'll find out about there. The Super Showdown pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia is going to be terrible, but I will be watching. You can check out what Andy Herman's got to offer, Cheesehead TV, the Pack-A-Day podcast as well. He's on Twitter at Scani Sports. Thanks for a couple minutes, Andy. I know that they're just like, you know, without pads, and it's kind of hard to tell, but it seems at least there's a refocused energy that you would expect with a new head coach. Are things as loose and maybe optimistic when you see them that we're hearing about down here?
Yeah, I think so, with a small bit of a caveat. And I think that caveat is, you know, they just hired a new head coach. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. They signed four big priority free agents. You know, they had two top 25 draft picks. If things weren't, you know, positive and happy and a good buzz around this team right now, that's probably a fairly big red flag. You know, hope always springs eternal this point in this time of year. So I think you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, because, of course, there's always going to be that renewed energy when you have kind of that new leadership come in and all of those things that I just mentioned. That being said, I've been so impressed with some of that energy. You've got the music playing throughout the practices. Aaron Rodgers seems very laid back. He seems very comfortable within the system and with this new coaching staff. So I think the biggest thing at this point when you have that new coach coming in is you don't want any red flags at this point. You don't want anything to say, you know, oh, no, this may have been a mistake. And there hasn't been, you know, and of course, this is Matt LaFleur's first time being a head coach at any level. And I think when you're coming off, you know, a Mike McCarthy era where he was, you know, decade plus, and he had everything down to a science, everything down to a detail. He was very detail oriented with his practice schedule and practice regime. I think, you know, for me, one of the trepidations was, how is Matt LaFleur going to be able to come in and, you know, set up this practice schedule? Is it going to be, you know, as efficient? Is it going to look the way that it should? And I've just been so impressed with how everything's looked in the two practices that I've got to see. And they've maximized their time really well. They've run drills that are able to kind of get, you know, different focuses across so that they're maximizing time. But, yeah, everything seems loose. Everything seems great. But like I said, at this point, it should. We'll see maybe at some point in the season when they get punched in the mouth or they have to face adversity if that positivity and that energy stays the same. I'm hopeful that it will, but it's still obviously very early.
Andy, I get nervous when Davante Adams gets a cold or just sneezes. So when I see the report that he misses his second public practice, and, you know, we heard LaFleur say that he was dealing with a minor injury problem, medical staff just wanted to exercise caution, I get nervous because the season hasn't started. Training camp really hasn't started, and the preseason and whatnot. Do you know anything about that injury and kind of what's going on there?
I haven't heard anything in specific about the injury. You know, everything that they've said is that, you know, it seems to be pretty minor and they're, you know, just kind of holding him out more for precautionary reasons. He did get in to a couple of the practices, I know, so it's not like he hasn't practiced at all. So I think, you know, everything's okay there. And I think the great thing with Adams is, you know, he steps on the field tomorrow with no practice and he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. So, you know, of course, with a new system, you know, you want that timing to get down. I actually interviewed Taylor Merritt, the former Wisconsin Badger offensive lineman who played in that Tennessee system. And one of the things I asked him is what's the toughest part about this offense? Who has the toughest job? And he actually mentioned that the wide receivers, because of all the different motions and the different sets and the different bunches and everything that they do within this offense and what they ask those receivers to do, he said that that's the toughest position to kind of learn. So you want him out on the field. You know, to me, when I went back and you're, you know, during the season and graded every single play last year, Adams was unquestionably the MVP of this Packers team for the season last year. So, like you said, anytime there's anything, there's that aura of nervousness and you want him to be out there. But I'm confident Adams could, you know, play week one without practicing at all and he wouldn't miss much of a beat.
Yeah, and obviously we want him out there, especially right now and during OTAs as this team's figuring out really who they are under Matt LaFleur. But I guess one beneficial thing would be you have a lot of young receivers who are trying to prove themselves. And I saw a quote from MVS where he was saying, you know, he wanted to be a leader in the locker room. And I like that because he's obviously a second-year guy. But a two-part question here with Kumerow, you know, with Geronimo coming back, and he looked good before the injury last season. How many receivers do you think they actually keep on the roster? And I know it's pretty early for that question, but also who do you see kind of making that big jump? I'm reading a lot about MVS, and he looks like he's going to be a stud, but who do you think makes the big jump? Because we know Adams is going to get all the targets, Devontae is, but, you know, when he's being double-teamed and whatnot in the red zone, you know, who do you think steps up and makes a difference out of those receivers this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll answer your, you know, first part of the question first. You know, I think they'll keep six receivers. I think the four are pretty locked in, you know, barring injury with Adams, Allison, and then EQ and MVS. So I think those four are pretty locked in. And then I think the other two positions, I think there's going to be a primary battle between the next three on the roster, between Jake Kumerow, Trevor Davis, and Jamon Moore. I think, you know, ultimately there's probably two spots for those three, based off of, you know, very early practices. I would say, you know, Kumerow and Davis seem to be in the lead when they kind of, what they've been doing is they've separated team activities into two different parts. So you've got one side of the field that's got kind of the starters and primary backups, and then the other side of the field where, you know, it's kind of your guys that are trying to work their way up the depth chart a little bit. So they're running two different team activities, and Kumerow and Davis have spent more time with the ones in the twos in that kind of primary group, whereas Jamon Moore has been spending more time with kind of that backup group. So I think Moore's a little bit behind the eight ball right now, but as I mentioned earlier, it's still very, very early. But I think probably two spots for maybe those three receivers, and then maybe you get, you know, a Darius Shepherd or a T.O. Redding who could maybe make some noise if they had a big training camp. Maybe they could get into the conversation. But right now I would say two spots for those three. And then from a breakout candidate, yeah, I think all the things that we're hearing about Marquez Valdes-Scantling is really super exciting. You know, you've heard him say that he wants to take that leadership role, as you mentioned. You heard Aaron Rodgers say that he's been, you know, working his butt off and that he's looking like a primary receiver in this offense. And if I could pick maybe one person on this team that I would want to have break out, I'm not sure I wouldn't pick MVS, because you have that 4-3 speed, his size, you know, his ability to get downfield and open up a defense on the outside. If you can put that on the opposite side of Adams, I actually posted a tweet earlier this week. There was a video that I took from the Patriots game where Adams and MVS are on the outside, and they both just run these beautiful deep routes, and both of them get open. Unfortunately, it was an incomplete pass on the play, but you just kind of saw the ability that those two have. And if MVS is on his game, that's going to open up things for everyone else, because that safety can't just sneak over to Adams' side. He's going to have to play over the top a little bit more. He's going to have to make sure that MVS isn't beating his corner one-on-one. Or if that safety does, you know, go over and sneak more towards Adams' side, that means that corner's one-on-one with MVS. And if he shows he can take the top off of the defense, corner's got to start playing back. Well, Rodgers can start hitting some of those smoke screens and some of those quick hitches to MVS, kind of like he did with Jordy Nelson, and he can, you know, just kind of taking candy from a baby at that point. So and it, not only that, but it opens up things under the middle for Jimmy Graham. The safeties are playing deeper, which opens up things for Aaron Jones. So I love the idea that MVS is breaking out. It's super exciting, and hopefully that's the case once the pads come on as well.
Andy Herman on Twitter at Scotty Sports. Again, the Pack-A-Day podcast, Cheesehead TV. Make sure you check it out. The Twitter account, Scotty Sports. A lot of good research, a lot of good film watching from Andy. The Jimmy Graham question, it seems like the answer is either one extreme or the other. I still have high hopes for Jimmy Graham. I think that he can be the red zone target this year in a new offense that he wasn't last year. Where are you in terms of the impact that Jimmy Graham can have on the Packers offense in 2019?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple, you know, questions that remain out there. Was it a system issue with Jimmy Graham last year? You know, you heard Mercedes Lewis come out last year, you know, after the season, he and Martellus Bennett were being interviewed, and they basically said that this, you know, Mike McCarthy offense did no favors for the tight ends. And when I go back and watch at the tape, it's tough to disagree with them. It's a lot of just stuff in the flats. I mean, how many times have we seen those little Richard Rodgers and, you know, Martellus Bennett plays where they're just catching, you know, a ball, you know, right in the flat, and they have to try to make their way upfield and turn upfield. And these aren't the tight ends necessarily to be doing that. Even Jimmy Graham at this age, he's still got some, you know, speed and ability, but you know, you want him more dynamic up the middle of the field. and getting them some routes where they can win with their routes and not just having to, you know, try to make their way one-on-one. That's not what those tight ends are necessarily good at. So is the scheme going to make him better? And then just how much was he banged up from a season ago? Because, he had the thumb injury. Even before then, it looked like he was maybe fighting through some injuries. I thought earlier in the season, especially in preseason, he looked very active. He looked very spry. He had the catch in preseason in the red zone, and immediately we were talking about how he was going to be a 10 to 12 touchdown guy. And yeah, he looked, he looked dynamic. And then for whatever reason, that kind of fell off at some point. And when the regular season hit, he never produced. And when I go back and look at my grades from last year, and recall what I saw on tape, my biggest issue was with him as a blocker. There were a lot of plays where not only was he just not a good blocker, but there was a lack of effort there. And then there were just plays that were 50-50 balls that, as a 6'6 guy, you want him to go up and win. And he just wasn't able to, explode off the ground like he was able to earlier in his career. And he just wasn't winning those 50-50 balls in those jump ball and red zone situations. So I am confident that this offense is going to open him up a little bit more. Aaron Rodgers has made mention of that as well. And I'm hoping that maybe some of those injuries were dragging him down from a season ago. And if that's the case, absolutely, I think he can maybe look a little bit more like the Jimmy Graham that we expected. Green Bay had a kind of low-key way to get out of that deal if they wanted to. They would have had to pay him and take some dead cap, but they definitely could have got out of it and definitely could have saved some money, and they decided not to. So they still felt that he was going to add value to this team. I'm with you. I have hope there, but I want to see it on tape first.
We know about the additions free agent-wise and even in the draft to the defensive side of the ball. But one thing the Packers, I guess, were able to do last season when they were bad and hurt was give some chances to some of these other guys that they were picking off the scrap heap, what have you. Is there anybody that, maybe we saw some time last year that made a jump, maybe a Tony Brown or even Natrell Jamerson? Is there a guy that is standing out defensively to you that we should be watching for?
Yeah, as you were starting the question, the guy that immediately stood out was Tony Brown. And, Tony Brown's still got a ways to go, and I think he's in a really unique situation where if you told me that Tony Brown worked his way up into some serious snaps this season, I wouldn't be surprised one bit, because he has that speed, he has the tenacity. You can win with Tony Brown on the football field. At the same token, if you told me that he came out, very similar to Lindsey Pipkins from a season ago, who had a really nice 2017, they brought him in as an undrafted free agent. He got some playing time at the end of the year. He didn't really carry that over into training camp the next year, and he ended up being, traded for Antonio Morrison and then eventually cut by the Colts. So if you told me that he ended up in a similar situation because he didn't carry it over from a season ago, I wouldn't be totally shocked either. But really, really liked what I saw from Tony Brown on tape. He has a natural ability to play press man corner, and that always is going to have value in the NFL. He's somebody that really stood out to me, just his play from a season ago. And then a little bit under the radar guy who kind of stood out to me as well was Fadol Brown. And he's really behind the eight ball, especially with some of the additions in the draft, like Kingsley Keke and even Rashawn Gary being able to kick inside, Za'Darius Smith being able to kick inside. I think he's definitely behind the eight ball, but was impressed with a little bit of what he put on tape. And there were a couple plays even in practice where I saw him stand out a little bit as well. So those two immediately come to mind.
Andy, good stuff. We'll be in touch with you during the offseason. Always good to get your insight, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, as always, for having me. Can't wait, guys.
Andy Herman, follow him on Twitter at Scani Sports, Scani IE Sports. And again, you can follow him at CheeseheadTV.com, and they do the Pack-A-Day podcast where they put out a podcast on the Packers every day. Good extra Packer content if you're looking for it. He joins us, as did Billy Schmidt on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.